Okay, great. Everybody, welcome to the selection committee meeting for RFP 2018 Electronic Payment Processing Services. I'm surprised they got all that out on Friday afternoon. My name is Derek Johnson. I'm the Assistant Finance Director for the Clerk of Courts and a facilitator but non-voting member for this RFP. If I could just get everybody, we'd go around the room and everybody can announce who they are, even our guests.
I'm Dina Rader. I'm the Human Resource Director for the Clerk of Courts. I'm a voting member.
Wayne Fry, Special Projects Manager for MIS. I'm a voting member.
Lynn Lum, Accounting Manager. I'm voting.
Jill Lennon, Director of Courts, voting member.
Steve Morgan, Assistant Director of MIS, non-voting member.
Terry Hart, Director of Recording and Records Management, voting member.
Sue Barbaretti, Staff Assistant, non-voting.
I'm Tracy Payne, and I'm observing. I work in MIS.
Kerry Hoffman with ANCOR.
Beth DeAngelis, First Florida Integrity Bank.
Tina Botte, First Florida Integrity Bank.
All right, thank you very much. All right, as a matter of review, let me tell you what we're doing here today. We're going to select a vendor to enter negotiations with on this RFP. Again, all your choices are important because if negotiations should fall through with the primary vendor or your selection today, we will be going to number two. I think it says as much in our RFP. I'm going to start by going over a little bit of a reference review. I think I told you folks last time in the meeting that I would take care of the references and just sort of briefly mention what we found in the references. We sent out, must have been 15 or so, responses to the named references that our vendors gave us, and the responses we got are as follows. I got one response from, or we got one response from Point and Pay. Generally a positive response. Only one thing was noted about chargebacks, and I will quote, it said they were very inconsistent when sending notices. Other than that, on a scale of 1 to 5, they were judged a 4 with respect to the call center functionality, and they said that they would hire Point and Pay again. All these are, of course, available online also. For GovPayNet, another one of our respondents, I will note, one more thing on the Point and Pay reference, that two of the questions weren't answered. The first three questions weren't answered. And those involved the type of selection process used, whether it was an RFP or single source, what other vendors were considered, and on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, how satisfied are you with the skills of the people from the vendors who are attending engagement? I'm not sure why that happened. Perhaps that was an oversight. On to GovPayNet. All questions were answered on GovPayNet. Very positive. On the 1 through 5 scales, they all received 5s. Nothing was noted as an exception. So they were very positive on GovPayNet. We had two responses on NCORP. Again, generally I'd say very, very positive responses. Call center functionality from one of the respondents was a 4, which is what we saw with, what we saw with Point and Pay. So again, two references back and complete references for NCORP. If you have any specific questions about them, again, they are available online. But positive responses.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Was there clarification or any more detail about the 4 for the call center?
No, there wasn't, but in fairness, when the question went out, it really didn't ask for a lot of detail. I mean, I think that's going to be one of the main subjects of discussion among this group, this call center functionality. But again, 4 out of 5, and what we've got to do is consider what was in the response regarding the call center for each particular vendor. Again, I'm sure that that's going to be subject to some debate here. Next up, there's a couple of different ways that we can handle this. We can take it vendor by vendor and share observations of each vendor going around the room. I know your score sheets are in some form finished or completed. Can be changed in this meeting from what you hear in the meeting. I intend at the end to discuss pricing at length. If it doesn't please the group, well, Raymond laughed, it won't be that much at length. If it pleases the group, we can do it that way, or if you just want to go through your scores as they are, or if there's questions for the group. Observations. I think the most organized way to do it is by vendor, in the order that they're presented in the score sheet. Is everybody good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, first on Terry.
Score sheet.
Oh, it's online on the S drive score sheet. Looks like this.
Is that an extra one?
No, that's mine. Can you make her a copy? Thank you so much. So happy you guys all showed up.
Did you have plan B just in case?
No, you guys are plan A all the way. But Friday at 2:00 in the afternoon.
We're the A team.
Are the A team. I'll make some minor editorial comments. I read through all the proposals myself and learned quite a bit about it. I think it's going to be incumbent upon this group to decide, you know, I know what we've talked about, the different methods and channels of payments that we want to run, but it seems like there are even more than I considered for sure. And we'll talk a little bit about this. So are you comfortable? So what your score sheet is by vendor and the total possible points across the top. And so what we'll do, and this is for everybody's knowledge, you'll assign points. More points is better than less points. That translates into a ranking, okay, 1 through 8 in this case. We have 8 respondents. Then we add the rankings on one spreadsheet, and the lowest score then wins. So it goes from highest points to lowest score because it's the highest ranking. Is everybody comfortable? Understand that? Okay, great. So, official payments, and usually the way I've actually seen this done is we start on one side from one vendor and the next vendor we go the other way. So, Dina?
Yes.
We're going to start with you.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, being the non-SME of the group, this is some of I did not really take a look at the...
Sorry, for the record, SME is subject matter expert.
Sorry, subject matter expert. I did not really look at the integration for computer services. I took a brief look at the financials of each one of them. I took a brief look at the pricing, but I was more interested in some of the services provided, especially for the call center. And the payment types. I think payment types are very key when it comes to being able to be ahead of the ball game technology-wise and be able to offer more services to the citizens of Collier County. So that's what I was looking at. Official payments offered your basic credit debit payments and ACH payments. Their call center was basic, in my opinion, without great details, so they basically would take information as far as payment, but not really provide a lot of back feed as to what cases, let me back up. Our call center currently provides information regarding cases, case dates, dockets, and information about court dates and a whole plethora of information, and so I didn't see that as far as this company here. What I saw was that they would just give how much money was owed and take payments of that nature. So I didn't think that they really would provide, in my opinion, a great deal of service as far as the call center was concerned.
Not repeating, but different things. They generally followed the RFP format. I mean, there were basic things. I went through and looked at that. Agree with your comments, though. Didn't see some information I would have liked to have seen, a little more detail about some things. And specifically, I will deal with experience, I guess, with this particular company, since that was something I focused on in reading this. Official Payments was our vendor in the past for accepting credit card payments for the traffic system. And they were replaced about 2015. I don't know exactly which month. I would have to look back. After a lengthy process of basically a year of working with them to try and expand our payment services and various countless meetings and phone calls, and after a year of basically the project being overdue, expected, promised, the final phone call about it was basically, you know, we've changed our business model, we're abandoning the project. So when it comes to experience, I consider that one of the very relevant factors with this particular proposal, because our past experience with them was very negative as far as their service and their apparent understanding of us and our needs. And it has been very recent that we changed from them, so this was not an experience that was 10 or 20 years ago. It's relatively recent, so I recognize that all things change and businesses evolve and that sort of thing, but I had some serious concerns about that based on our direct experience with them.
I have some of the same observations. A couple other things that I noted, I obviously look at it in a little different perspective. We'll get most of our dollars in 48 hours. And the American Express will get in 72 hours, which is pretty standard for what we get, I think, right now already. The reports, in like Wayne said, we worked with them before, and we used to get reports automatically sent to us every day. And now it says, basically, initially it said you have to go get the reports, but you can schedule auto reports to be delivered, which, okay, that's not a problem. But it also on page 8, it looked like it was mentioning the one that was talking about the pricing, and obviously, you know, kind of looking at you, so I didn't really go into the pricing too much, but it looks like it's being not necessarily being charged to the customer, which is what we're shooting for, so that we don't have any of the fees here and then have to be paid later.
Pardon, Raymond, just for a second. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my observation, so I want to make sure page 8.
No.
I thought it addressed convenience fee.
And maybe it did somewhere else and I missed it, but
ahead of that.
Maybe it was in the wording.
Right.
Yeah.
Proposed plan. Right. Because I very clearly in my pricing alteration, everybody had proposed.
Okay.
Some people had an option to go one of two ways, but it was always that way. Because I think we're extremely clear in our RFP that this would be a convenience fee.
Okay. And on the previous page, to kind of, I don't know if they're offsetting what you just said, but they mentioned about how they will have quarterly meetings and do an assessment of where they are and provide new features and functionality within their software. But the one thing, and this is one thing that I noticed about all of them, and maybe it's just because we don't have, you know, specific examples or anything, but currently when we do all of our reconciliations, it's by cashier. And a lot of these reports are coming in. It looks like they can divide them by which ones are done at the counter, over the counter, which ones are done over the internet, which are ACH, by credit card, by type of credit card. But I didn't see anywhere we could do it, and maybe it's not possible, I don't know, but where we could do it individually by cashier if we have to register each credit credit card machine individually and run a report off of those or not. So that is one of the things that I look for, because since currently that's how we reconcile everything, and we would have to change if we're not going to reconcile that way.
Well, clearly that's one thing that's going to have to be made clear during the negotiation process, mm-hmm. is how that ties into the number of MIDs or merchant ID numbers and accounts. To varying degrees, it does look like most vendors tried to streamline that as much as possible into like even a single stream deposit.
That's pretty much everything.
There are two major things that I was looking at besides the pricing and stuff. But that is call center. That's the top priority for me. And how the credit card works at the counter, if we're going to go that route. Because the reason I was against it for years was because our local tax collector would say, we have to log into two separate things, we have to put information in, it's terrible, we hate it, it's double the time. Plus, I don't want my clerks putting any information in. It's got to be a swipe thing. And their descriptions are so short, so brief, that I really don't know how it works. You know, some have pictures of the equipment and stuff. I know what I'm looking at, but I feel like I don't really know what I'm looking at here. The same with the call center. They imply they kind of have a call center, but I think in their very short description that it really is, will answer their financial questions. It's not really what I was looking for in a call center, so it didn't rate very high to me on those two items. So, and I know that they had terrible things. It didn't affect me because we were still making payments, and so that was okay. But I know that they struggled.
The circle came to me first, so I speak on
right.
it.
Right, they struggled with that. Yet it didn't affect me so much, except that I didn't get any additional criminal payments by credit
Correct.
Card that I
it
now
It was delayed
have.
Considerably mm-hmm. because we had the change. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Morgan.
There you go. I strictly looked at the PCI compliance technical parts of it. Figured if you guys could cover all the rest of it. Since I'm a non-voting member, this is really the only part that pertains to me. With official payments, they have they use third-party software. They don't say if they host it or if we host it. They're just not clear enough on that part of it. They are PCI compliant, but not PCI listed. There's two different stages of that. You can go through the paperwork, do all the proper questions, get PCI certified. PCI listed, you go a step further and really get in depth into being probed and checked and checked off by them for approval in different stages all the way into the final stage and become listed on PCI's site as a listed council. They mention it, but they're not. I'll check the list if they're not on it. They do talk about point-to-point encryption, but they don't go into detail again on how they implement it or if it keeps us out of the PCI realm or not. So, yeah, it's just the way it looks to me.
Well, clearly, I think the RFP was pretty clear that we want to minimize our PCI compliance.
Absolutely.
This really, I'm going to use the wrong term, but stage one
right.
PCI compliance.
Exactly.
Which I think when you put a scanner at the counter, it becomes a little more difficult, but
sometimes
it's a training issue.
Depends.
Okay. Terry?
Well, I was mainly looking at pricing. Because in my department, the main thing it's going to affect is my e-recording, which I'm trying to promote, which is mainly deals with ACH bank transactions. And we probably won't have as many credit debit transactions. And the call center, I think, is mainly going to be for courts and court payments, so that doesn't really affect me so much. I was also looking through these for, because I know one stumbling block we have right now is that the ACH monthly limits that are set. But I couldn't find anything about the monthly limits that were concerning us.
I don't think that was addressed actually.
Yeah.
I never saw that mentioned.
And that's something we have to keep raising, and that's something that, we keep maxing out.
As our
e-reports keep growing, we keep maxing out on those limits.
Yeah, the limits are actually something I had a bit of an issue with in several. That wasn't addressed. Maybe we didn't ask the question.
Yeah.
Well, I think in fairness to the responders, I don't think that we put that in. Clearly, I was going to if it pleased the group. Terry, what happens now, though? The real problem is you have to go twice in a row in order for us to go back this one.
Is Sue going to talk?
No. She doesn't even start talking.
Okay. Are we going to go to the next one, then?
And if it pleases the group, while Terry goes to our next vendor, which is J.P. Morgan, I was going to pull up some transaction data that Raymond beautifully helped me pull together. I don't know if you guys know how much money we actually collect in a year and how many transactions we actually do. I've got that for FY 2017. If it pleases the group, I'll give you a quick run through, because essentially what Terry just brought up in my mind is, and she's focusing on ACHs because that's really part of her business model. And Jill, your business model is more on the court fines side of it. If I could give you guys a flavor of how many transactions we process and what the average size is, which a lot of vendors asked us, because you really need to know that. It's very important when it comes to pricing.
Right.
And I can give you a little flavor of that. I just have to find the spreadsheet.
Okay. And
so if you guys want to go on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, one thing that really won't work with ACH transactions is going on a percentage, because we have some large transactions with recording of deeds and accepting doc stamps on multi-million dollar parcels. So that would be outrageous to go for a percentage rate on those transactions. But, you know, that had nothing to do. Official payments was fine. There were a dollar per ACH, so that was another thing I was looking at. J.P. Morgan, again, I didn't see any limits. It said the bank reserves right to set max payment amounts, though, and modify maximums. I did find where it did say that. But their pricing was pretty much close to being close to the other. Here it said there are convenience fee if a refund of a main payment is requested on page 26. It said the convenience fee is automatically refunded as well. I guess because that's all their money anyways. It's not ours.
So you understand completely the function of the convenience fee, correct? That's for being able
right,
to
that's
use
the bank
your card,
fee. It's not ours.
That
yeah.
means you
right.
pay it,
mm-hmm.
not us. And
right.
of course, that
mm-hmm.
was very explicitly put to us by the clerk. Not everybody does it that way, but we do it that way.
That's about it.
They talked a lot about PCI compliance, but they're not a point-to-point encryption compliant. Not listed, and looked like to me their certification was out of date. They probably have one that is in date, but that one looked out of date. They do offer a web-based branded portal that they do host, which is good. We want that, but there wasn't. It was so vague, and with the PCI certification being outdated, I just thought wasn't worth pursuing in my view, as far as what we need for point to point.
I don't think they really have a call center either. I think it's IVR. I was very confused about them saying the clerk's customer service representatives are those clerks, and then it's saying they can make the payment for people. My clerk's not making a payment for anyone. That would be taking the credit card information. So I don't know if it's poorly written or if that's what they're really saying. And I got very nervous about that. And basically then scored it as, no, they don't really have a call center, I don't think. Also, they had pictures of where the clerk would log in. And again, I have no interest in that at all. None, zero. That knocks them out if that's what it is. Again, unless it's a misunderstanding on my part, that's exactly what it looked like to me. So that would be a no-go.
I noticed a lot of the same things. It seemed like their call center was basically just an IVR, and they had taped responses that you just hit in buttons and give you a response. But they also, I did notice that they mentioned about having an impressed balance with the J.P. Morgan for chargebacks, which I think chargebacks is one of the things we specifically ask.
It is.
Okay. On page 20, it also mentions about, and I think Jill hit on this, about editing. You can add, delete, or edit, save credit card, debit card, and bank account information. And that kind of confused me as well. We don't want any of that information on our systems, I don't believe. And I don't know if maybe we have to log into their system to edit it or what, but that was a question I had, is where is this located? I had the same thing about the customer service representative. It seems like it's our clerks. They did have two exceptions they mentioned about debiting on the chargebacks, which I just discussed. And then they also about J.P. Morgan could assign the contract without notifying us, which I know banks merge and everything else, but it just seems like kind of an odd one to kind of stick out there. Kind of stuck with me a little bit.
That I read that a couple of times too. I thought the same thing, but then I thought, oh yeah, they do buy each other out and stuff or sell things, just like with mortgages.
Kind of, yeah, that's the thing I equated it to.
Yeah.
It's like selling mortgages off.
It makes you nervous though when it goes to different leadership.
They followed the format. That was nice. Sorry, but I think that's it just makes it easier to read. So it was helpful. Well established. Something on their references. Obviously, they're a very long-standing company. I understand it, but the references that they listed were mostly city and counties, very large, out of state, not Florida, not clerk's offices. And it kind of there. I kind of also had the impression that they were very big. They deal with big customers. They certainly have a lot of resources. But I wondered if our individual needs would get lost in the shuffle a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out in different ways here. So then the references were one of them. I also had the impress question for you, which you just answered. There are some fees with it, and I know Derek will deal with these things later. They were providing two readers. The rest were $700 apiece, mm-hmm. So there were some costs that we would have to deal with, and you know, probably not huge costs and kind of startup costs. I understand that, but they were there. Mm-hmm. Also, there was a note that IT work beyond the agreement, which implied to me when we might make changes or enhancements down the road. They quoted their costs for that, $115 an hour. So just. Again, keeping in mind for cost. I got the same impression Jill did, very much so. Call center, clerk staff, page 21. That was my note in here.
Yeah.
And I think that's an issue. Along with that, their problem resolution process specified that if we have a problem, email their support desk, and then the next part was, if urgent and outside business hours, then call them. And I'm like, well, I have no problem emailing you, but sometimes we might have a different need. So, again, it was kind of that overall impression of a very big, capable entity, mm-hmm. but maybe a certain lack of flexibility, that sort of thing.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
I mirror everything that's said. I don't think that they have really a good idea of what the clerk really needs. I mean, that to me was my overall impression. And it really bothered me that their exceptions of what they could not provide was that confirmation that they would be our service provider. Mm-hmm. It really bothered me that they put this in as a caveat that they could sell to another. I understand there's mergers that happen all the time, but if you have a very large company like that, you get lost in the shuffle. And I think that the service would not be as focused on what we need. So I really was not impressed with this.
Kmart at that same old juncture again. Where
did you have your spreadsheet that you wanted?
I sure did.
Okay. Would you like to say that now, or would you like me to go first?
Well, I was going to bring this up in the beginning of the pricing discussion, but I think it's not a bad time to frame this discussion. So last year, we collected $150 million on 195,000 transactions. Breaks down like this. Recording did 112,000 transactions. Now, again, this is gross, not on cards, because you're well aware, and one of the reasons you all get to sit here on Friday afternoon is that we don't take cards for anything except traffic fines and criminal fines right now. But break it down. In criminal court, 12,500 transactions. And if you're interested, the average per transaction price there is $350. Traffic is 35,000. 35,600 transactions with an average of $147 per transaction. Probate is 10,867 transactions. That's an average of 177. Family is 2,200, and that's $287 per. Juveniles, 156 transactions at $98 per. And civil is 21,000 transactions, estimated with total dollar value, $28 million. That's at $1,300 per. So when you look at the way the fee structure is, really a lot of it and a lot of bids, I think, are generated based on what the average transaction is. Our average flat transaction is about $190. And that's clearly weighted, and that doesn't include ACHs, though. I'm just talking about card transactions right now. It's weighted heavily towards traffic. Mm-hmm. Because of the number of transactions. So it goes up a little. It's like $150 per ticket, roughly. And I'm so glad I haven't made any contributions along those lines in quite a while. So again, it's astounding. I mean,
what was the total dollar amount for
$150 million.
Recording?
Oh, for recording, total dollar amount, $109 million. That's a lot of transactions.
No wonder I'm tired.
No wonder you're tired.
Are we ready?
Onward.
Okay.
Incord is our next vendor under consideration.
All right, so I had quite a few comments about this. I'm going to start with the concern that I had first, because that's where I want to start. On Exhibit B, which was required, they marked no.
That was mine.
That they could not comply with all aspects of the clerk's requirements.
Oh, but then they sent
there was
update.
A clarification.
Oh, did they send an update?
Oh, yeah, there was a
it's
clarification.
It's posted to the website.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I didn't see the clarification. So what was the clarification?
They marked the wrong box.
Marked the wrong box.
Oh, good. Well, then, yay. That takes care of that. Now on to the good stuff. Okay. So, of all of these, I believe NCORT probably has a good handle on the call center. There were certain things that I thought were very unique to NCORT. One is that they have the ability to provide reminders to our citizens of court dates and be able to answer some of those basic questions that would relieve our call center of a lot of what they do. So I felt like, and not to get into long detail, because I'm sure that would be addressed in a more someone who has more of a subject matter expertise on that. But I thought that that was really significant. Another thing that I thought was very significant was on their financial side and what they accept as far as payments. And again, when I started out my discussion of the first one of the things that I think is very important in this day and age is that we make this as convenient as possible to the citizens of Collier County. And I believe that one of the most convenient things is the use of PayPal, which is very secure. And I think that that put it ahead of all the other ones because that was part of what they accept as payments online, as well as obviously the in-person payments of your normal debit credits and whatnot. So I think that that really impressed me, that they have moved forward with making many different avenues available to the citizens to pay. Those were my observations.
If I might just step in with an observation too, because again, by way of review, I did go over these too, and I did have a question about the outbound notification service. Is that something that we would be comfortable utilizing?
I think we would want to if there were no additional costs, but look at that, yes, because that, I'm sure the people would appreciate
sure, definitely.
That.
Definitely, but I mean,
it's
we're
a
not,
service.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And creating more of an agency by doing that. I mean, I'm looking totally to you because I'm trying to learn a little of this stuff too. And an outbound notification is sort of like a, I'm thinking it's like a push, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you owe us.
Yeah, your due date is coming
up. Your due date for your payment.
With things like traffic tickets, it all happens too quickly, and I don't know that we have the information to do it. But if you're talking about somebody on a payment plan, which we are trying to push big time in the future, that would be huge to say, hey, to send them a reminder, hey, your $50 payment is due in the next couple of days or whatever.
Or how about a reminder that they still haven't submitted their proof?
Right, right.
Because that's always a big one. They think they've paid and cleared it and they haven't, right. And then they get D6'd later.
Right, we're suspending people constantly and then they call us the 2 days later and they're like, oh, I was just late, you know, it's such a pain. And if they got a reminder, that could be a big help.
Glad to know that. Yes. So a payment plan is actually kind of prevalent?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And again, that's something that we're pushing because if they can't pay it, I don't want to suspend them. I want them to come in and get on a payment plan. Yes. So that just benefits all of us, not suspending them. Again, that doesn't really even cause them to come in and pay. Sending them to the collection agency is more of an incentive, believe it or not, than suspending a license, which is shocking but true.
The other note then brought up with this discussion about the fee schedule is the question of if a lot of the functions of the call center that we currently have would be replaced by this automated call center, what kind of differences would there be in the overhead of possibly paying for that fee versus paying for the liability of that position, the benefits and the salary and whatnot. So I would like to see what that return is or what the differences are so we could.
I would
we
love.
We don't pay any. The person pays a lot more by going through the call center if they take the payment. But that's completely passed off on the
taxpayer.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have quantified that for you, but it's impossible until we know, again, how successful any given call center would be.
Right.
Because from my HR perspective, the budget is so restrictive now that if we can reallocate or we can reduce our budget in the personnel side by reducing those expenses, then that certainly would be something to consider as part of this package because we do have to find ways to be able to work more efficiently and more effectively with the dollars that we are afforded.
And if I may, I'd like to pick up on
that. Okay.
Because that is one of my topics to mention as well, and you've already started it, which is excellent. But it really is because of something Derek said. You said that that's not possible to quantify really how that would
today
specifically help us today. I agree with that. However, I think I would just add this to it. in the past, I have actually talked to, because this topic has come up periodically over the years, especially more recently, as this has become more and more of an issue with our budget. And I have talked to a couple of your folks that basically they're on the phone all day. They are our call center for courts. And I said, you know, what do? Can you, just curious, and I mean, I know what they do, but tell me what you do. And you're basically on the phone all day. What kind of things do people ask you? Do they just ask you, I need to pay, I think? How can I do that? What are my options? Oh, there's a website. What's the website? You know, is it something very basic and kind of repetitive that even I could answer? Or is it something that is very specific, like, you know, I've got four different cases. I've got a trial date coming up. If I pay this, will it clear my license? But I don't want to screw this case up over here. Is it something that you really have to be a court clerk and dive in deep to the puddle to answer? And at least the comments I've gotten from them, the expert, not me, is a lot of the calls are on the more basic side. They're repetitive. We repeat the same answers.
Well, I did some research too and talked to the people. Well, I had a friendly person help me talk to the people. He talked to the people. And in fact, it did seem, because, you know, it does seem to me very complex that any call center would be able to answer the question, but it did seem that there was a pretty dramatic layer of questions that could be made to go away, and that's why.
Yeah. And that was the impression I got as well. So, you know, I wouldn't presume to quantify it and say 50% or 40% or
right,
whatever.
I can't either, but
it's not an insignificant number.
No. I think it's got to be more than even 50%. As a matter of fact, the very complex come to our email to CT supervisors, so I would be aware of them, and they are rare. So the majority can be answered with what is right there in front of you, and I think a call center. And then when you get into suspensions, that's where it gets a little bit more. That would be the percentage that we would be dealing with. But the basic phone calls, yes.
Well, I mean, I think that's what was the difficulty of this group, because call centers are referenced in some way, shape, or form by every response that you receive. Mm-hmm. And it's how those terms are couched, whether you regard whether they're going to be able to answer those questions or whether they really only be able to take payment information.
Right, right.
Because I think what you were greeted with, in my mind, very simply put, is a spectrum of responses from the merchant processing all to full service.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I won't hold up the process.
So my overall opinion on this is that there would be a level of return that would allow us to recalculate our personnel expenses and be able to either reallocate the help that we have or reduce our personnel budget.
Plus, don't forget the beauty of the clerk's mantra, and I personally agree. Since we're in convenience fee mode, all the pricing, they saw it and they responded in kind. You don't have to pay it if you don't want to pay that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's optional.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm sorry if I cut you off earlier.
You did not. You did not.
Okay.
I think that kind of everybody was talking.
We kind of segueing. So other general comments about them. It was a very good response. It was very easy to read and informative. I would have liked a couple more little details in a couple places. Lots of experience, and I seem to be hitting on that category for some reason. Their reference list for Florida is extensive, and specifically they deal with clerks, others as well. But I don't think we would be an outlier. You know, they've been to this party before. They've dealt with many clerks, and you know, so they know our business, I guess, through their other customers, and that was a very good sign to me. Same kinds of questions as far as some of the costs that I'm curious when Derek gives a full kind of report on that. The costs on some of their services, it's kind of you get what you pay for, perhaps, but although the cost to the clerk appear to be negligible, the cost to the consumers may be a little higher. The call center, very specifically, you know, 7% on a $200 or $300 traffic ticket is rather substantial. I don't think I would do it, but hopefully I didn't have the ticket to begin with. But, you know,
exactly.
That's a chunk of change for I think most people. So some concerns there, not so much from the cost that we would be incurring, but from our customers and not wanting to impose anything undue on them. I think that is a concern. They did give some interesting options as far as payments. One of them was the remote cash payments, which I thought was really interesting. In some of our more outlying areas, that you, if you don't have a bank account, credit card, you're strictly a cash, you know, person, when we have a lot of people like that, they could pay possibly at a 7-Eleven or certain convenience stores. And there were a couple of the respondents actually to this that had that type of service, but I thought that was particularly interesting. I don't know how extensively it would be used, but that's certainly a rather considerable extension of what we are offering now, and it also seemed to really extend the services and the availability to people that maybe are outside the normal banking system that we think of. You know, people that are
unbankable.
Yeah, they're cash-based people, and I thought that was really interesting as a convenience issue to our customers. Notes here. Another note as far as ease of integration with our existing apps. They specifically stated that they are already integrated with CourtView and Pioneer, two of our primary vendors for our court system and for our value adjustment board system. Obviously, the specific integrations with our county might be a little different, but if they've already dealt with those vendors, they've dealt with the same technology staff from the vendor that they would deal with us, so it would kind of be a repeat performance, and I thought that was an ease of use issue.
I noticed a lot of the same things, just like Wayne was saying with the Apple Pay, and the Dean said also the Google Pay and the PayPal prepaid cards, as well as like being able to pay at 7-Eleven, CVS. The other thing, one of the other things I noticed, obviously looking at it from my financial side, is all payments come in 2 days, including the American Express, and it says on page 3 that they're basically, everything comes in the two days for the MasterCard and Visa and are initiated in advance of funding in the case of American Express and ACH. So they're basically kind of upfronting it, knowing what's coming in, so which is kind of nice for us. It makes it all come in once. It's much easier to reconcile, obviously, on our part. With the reminders that we're talking about for courts that they have, listening to the legislative update this morning, one of the things they're talking about doing, and I don't know if it'll pass or not, but they're going to do an extra 10 days before you suspend their license. They were talking about that. And we would have to send out reminders to do that.
Yeah. Surprise.
So, I mean, there's no benefit to the clerk. It's only a benefit for the violator. But they're discussing that. So that would be another reminder we would have to put out. And it would save us, you know, if all that stuff can be automated. I kind of was a little intrigued by when they started talking about their call center, how they have the clean desk policy where there's no cell phones and there's no any kind of basically pencil or paper in the office. They're just basically working on a computer so that they're not ever, you know, potentially having data written down or writing down credit card numbers or anything like that, which is kind of was very interesting. And they had no exceptions that they listed. But that's pretty much, everything seemed to be pretty good. I did like the idea also that they had past due notices that they could be sending out. That's a real big nice thing for us. That would have probably a lot of things. Which is kind of what our collection department used to do.
I also noted the clean desk issue and it frightened me.
That just applies to you and I, Derek. So, yeah.
You too, ma'am. I didn't know it applied to you.
Mine's in between the two of y'all.
Yeah, I don't believe you're doing anything if you have a clean desk. That's an impossibility.
It's an interesting, honestly, to take the levity out of it. That is an interesting security measure, though, to not allow that.
Okay, a lot of the things are the same. The call center, that's what makes the big difference to me. And the 7%, how I feel about it, because at first, right, you're kind of like, what? That's a lot of money. But you know what? It's being put on the person who broke the law and got a citation. And if we take away employees because of it, that saves the taxpayers, every taxpayer out there, money. So really, that kind of justifies it in my mind, is that we're saving the taxpayers money by going with this, even though it costs the person who got the ticket, but they broke the law. So, and if it's that high level of a call center, people aren't upset to pay a little bit of extra money to have that one-on-one conversation. You guys, there are clerk's offices now, not even I can call and get a person, okay? Because of budget cuts, lots of them. Mm-hmm. Only I can leave a message even at my level. They won't give us inside phone calls. They don't have time to take phone calls. And some counties, you absolutely cannot talk to a person. You can only leave a message, ever. And if they choose to call you back, they call you back. So it's really shocking, the decrease in service, and I feel like this would be adding to our level of service. So another thing, all these additional options. One of the things that when we first did IVR, which IVR to me is a joke, that is so outdated, why anybody would bother to do that, I don't know. But when we were doing IVR and we told her, we have to go with this website, do it on the computer. And he goes, people don't have computers at home. That's how old we are, that he was against going for computers. And now we're talking about Apple Pay and stuff, which I don't understand. But I know if I see it in there, that's what these kids do. They don't pay. My kids don't even know what a check is, okay? They don't have checks. They don't know what that is. So we have to get up to this level, and we can't do that. Again, I know these are the machines that I want, that my clerk doesn't have to log in, that we don't have to take it, and that's another, you know, huge thing to me, is that this is all easily automated. They have all kinds of references in the state of Florida, clerk's offices that I know, so they completely understand the clerk's business, and that is a key thing. That's why we had problems with other people, because they don't really understand that it's pretty complex. It's not as easy as everybody paying their electric bill. And so even though some are in governments, being in a clerk's office is what makes a difference. So yeah, the ease with which we could integrate that, that's very important to me. So
October.
So please tell me they're PC. I didn't understand all of that.
I totally agree with everything you just said. As far as experience goes in this one, they have more experience than any of them that I looked at. And the experience is not just in this type of system, it's in working with clerk's offices. It's very important to us because PCI compliance is our most important thing here. They are certified. They're PCI compliant. They've done everything they need to do. I couldn't find them listed. Doesn't mean they're not counseled. Just wasn't on the list when I checked that one. I do have a question with their online system. Clearly, when you read it in here, it does what it all needs to do and everything, but I couldn't get my finger on whether or not it was hosted by us or them. I couldn't tell from what's written. I would assume as many of these as they've done, they've covered that, and they probably do the hosting and everything. I ain't sure. Just didn't say. The other part is the point of sale card readers. I just love the way they're set up. They're EMV enabled. They are complete point-to-point encryption. Connect to a USB point, and like you said, the Google, the Apple Pay, and everything that goes in, but they take us out of the equation, and we don't have to segment our network to use them. Like what we do right now, we segment off to keep us in PCI compliant. With this, we don't have to. So that one's a good one, in my opinion.
So the current
card provider. It's just a segment inside.
The only way we can be PCI compliant right now is to segment out of our system.
And remember, that's not for face-to-face transactions even. That's exactly. Only web.
That's only web. Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, it's only going to get more onerous under face-to-face transactions.
SQAEP, which we don't want to be, so. Or SAQ.
So, then, for the benefit of the group, having a separate USB report prevents us from going to the next level of PCI compliance.
The way that they're set up, it takes us out of the equation.
So, okay.
Because of the way they connect and the way it goes to their point to point and all encrypted, we never see data.
So even though people come to the counter now,
that's what we want, right?
Data's right, I understand. But just making sure I understand.
Yeah.
They come to the counter. There's the swipers there. They're not supposed to give the card to anybody else. I mean, that's a
training issue. Right. There's a little training issue there.
That's a training issue. So we don't have to change our PCI tranche.
No, I'm very comfortable with this one.
Pardon the continued interruptions.
Okay. I noticed the same thing as Dina right away, that Exhibit B was not filled out, but I'm glad that was corrected. reading through it, I just noticed it was court, and I was concerned that it wasn't covering other services that were non-court, but I was assured that the RFP specifically said that it covered other court services or non-court services as well. So that was good. I really, the prices, I love the ACH price, the credit debit I thought was high, but in recording I really don't see, people might use a credit card for a passport fee or a marriage license or copies. And that would come in real handy for copies, which is small fees. I don't see any large recordings put on a credit card anyway. But,
no, and although it's been a while since we've talked about this, you have the issue, unlike courts, that if something is rejected, you can't reverse your work.
Correct.
There, you have no recourse other than collections or legal action, where she can put the charges back on the case.
Mm-hmm. I was very comfortable with all of their references and listing 18 other counties' clerk's offices, so I figured they'd have a good understanding of what we're looking for and our needs.
The only question I would have is with those other clerk's offices, do they have non-court services?
Yeah, a lot of them just list courts, on there. They say courts. They don't say clerk of courts or.
But that would be the only question.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much all I had on that one. I noticed at the beginning it said they didn't take Discover, but then I see on back they listed Discover, so.
You get to go again, Terry.
Oh, what's next? Okay.
I'm sorry, what's the next one?
Point K.
I started minding him.
Well, this one is also used, Point K is also used by a couple other clerk of courts offices and other county agencies, a couple of tax collectors' offices. Their pricing for ACHs is a little higher. Transactions, credit debit, $3.95. At least it wasn't a percentage. It was mainly. Oh, I was impressed in their, where they have online payments solutions, they actually mentioned CORE in there, so which is what we use for our recording software. So I thought that was, wow, CORE.
But that's pretty much all I have.
I have no issues with them whatsoever. They offer a hosted solution, which is works for local bills, lookups, appears to allow branding for our site. States clearly that they use a post-back process for receiving, allows for real-time lookup, PCI compliant. They're also a listed solution on the site, which I looked them up, P2P encryption. No issues with the point of sale device they want to use. They do mention a couple types. Both of them are compliant and hook, you know, same way. USB, same type of system. I have no issues with them whatsoever.
I think that they understand the clerk's business also. As a matter of fact, we had Point and Pay for many years. We had them when their original name was something else that now
Dialify.
Yeah.
They were our first company we dealt with. And I think they've streamlined it a lot more now, and they know what our business is. A little concerned, I again think that might have been a log on by the clerk into their system to take a credit card. I'm not sure that they have the machine like in court, so that would be a major question.
They say they do, but they didn't go into detail on it. They just listed a couple names.
Yes, yeah. So I'm not sure how that connection works, so that would be a question that I would have. Also, it was another one where you get two free things, and then you pay quite a bit for other
exactly.
In the end, I don't know
it's not
how big of a deal that is, but
well, remember
free,
we
who
also
would only ever need two.
Yeah,
remember that, you know. we discussed the number of 25.
Yeah.
So just to, I'm not to jump ahead to the pricing, but you're considering that again in this case, the purchase of 23. In this particular case, I think there was two different meters. An Ingenico and a Verifone, one was significantly more expensive than the other one, and there was a reason for that.
It
was integrated
versus
standalone or something like that. But.
Right. So, but yes, they also had references within Florida. Again, I know they know our business. We helped them build it many years ago. So I just am concerned that it might be that you're logging onto the system. Again, they say they have a call center, which that's the first time I've ever heard of that other than in court. So I'm surprised to hear that, and I'd like to know. I didn't think they would have the answer that they did. I'd like to know someone that has utilized that and know what answers they really get, because their responses make you think that it's like a full-blown call center that they would answer basic questions to, but they have like three levels, first level support, or two levels, second level support, making payments, scheduling payments, accessing customer accounts. So that's all with the payment stuff, but then they say general questions and issues. What exactly does that mean? Is it really a call center that, you know, So I'm not really sure.
Well, again, in the reference response, just to reiterate, for Point and Pay, was one through five was a four for functionality of the call center. But again, we've got to rely ultimately on their answer about what they're able to do in the call center.
Right.
Whether
what
it's
is
just
it?
A payment
I'm not
issue.
Sure that it's really doesn't only have to do with the payments too. I really don't know if that's a full call center or not.
A lot of the same things that they work with many counties. One of the things I did notice that I thought was kind of interesting was that they did you can pay many things with the same logon, which I assume, you know, even people breaking the speed limit have to buy houses too. So, you know, maybe they could do recording with Terry as well as everything else all at the same time, which was kind of interesting to see. Their payments do settle at different days, but they also do listed group or individual settlements, and I didn't know if the individual settlements, that would help us with our reconciliations, make things a little simpler. They also mentioned about partial refunds, full or partial refunds. Currently, you know, whenever we have any issues, we refund the entire credit card if there's something going on. But if we do, you know, if we do partial, like if someone just overpaid by $50, that would be kind of nice for us. But right now, we just do it through a refund, and it just comes out, you know, it actually benefits us because it sets in the account for a week while we wait for the next check run. So we make a little money off of it on that case. But they didn't have any, they didn't list any exceptions. They did list the staff size, and it seemed kind of small, and I don't know, maybe they're just very efficient, but I think it only listed like 45 total people in their office, and dealing with all those counties, it seemed like it was pretty pretty small to do that.
Mm-hmm. I also picked up on the staff size. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
You probably had earlier, we talked about J.P. Morgan being the other end of the spectrum, and you know, so maybe you would get smaller company, personalized things, but again, maybe it's too small. So I did pick up on that. A couple of general comments first. I liked the proposal. I don't have tremendous criticisms of it or tremendous kudos. It was okay. I would have liked more detail to some of it. There were some things that I couldn't quite get into. You made kind of the same comments. Experience is fine. It's certainly been in business for quite some time. They were our vendor until about 2010. And it was very different technology back then. I mean, we're basically back in essentially green screen days, just about, you know. But they... because it goes back long before 2010, obviously. One of the unique things they did, as I recall, was they cleared D6s by screen scraping. Remember the DHSMV? We haven't done it since, and that was great.
No one would ever do that.
No, that was very, very custom work. But at the same time, everything's moved on from that. So it was just kind of an interesting. I remember that. The fees, you know, whatever. I don't have any strong comments about them. Probably the size. I did find a notation, I think, as far as integration with Pioneer, page 11. It seems like everything in their proposal would probably work for us. I didn't feel like I had quite enough information to really champion that. It was more of an impression, but... it was a little less than I had hoped for, I guess. And I had one question for Raymond. As far as their reports and reconciling, did you have any concerns that it would be a little more effort for you? It's not my area, but just in looking through the information they had, it seemed like it might be a little more,
It's pretty much, it was the same question I had for all of them. I mean, typically they're providing like a total deposit for the day, but the way we currently operate, all of our cashiers are done separately. So each of their deposits we can track, you know, so we can find out, you know, where the mistakes are, or if there are any mistakes, or what needs to be corrected. And if we go to a total system like that, then you know, four different cashiers on Terry's counter, you know, four different cashiers at Jill's counter, the satellites. All of them would be deposited into one deposit, and we wouldn't have the necessarily tracking unless we can identify them by machine number. So that was the only thing, that's the concern I have with every one of them.
Well, I kind of got a different take on the call center. I didn't see that it was more than anything more than just a payment center personally, because that's all they really talk about here.
Yeah, there's that one thing at the end. What is their wording at the very end? That basic...
simple questions about pages and accounts or something,
right,
like that.
Right, something like that.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Everything else that they focused on was all about payments and balances.
Right.
And it really didn't get into any detail like in-court did about answering quotes, basic questions, court dates, and that sort of thing. So, and the other thing that kind of stuck out to me is if they had clients in Florida, other clerk clients in Florida, why did they only give us references on page 19 from Oregon and Washington? I would think that if they had Florida-based customers, especially in clerk's offices, they would have at least given us some sort of reference statements from them about their satisfaction with the services provided. I don't know. It's just, to me, it was kind of odd that if they're marketing to Florida, that they would not include a Florida company as well.
I thought they had some, or do I just know that, here, page 8.
But is that in reference to their call center?
No, it's just their references for Brevard, St. Lucie.
Yeah. But it's only, I see that, but it's only talking about payments. It's not referencing anything about the call center other than payments, taking payments. It doesn't say anything about answering questions.
Right, I don't know. Right, I.
That's my concern.
Basic things, but that is a concern of mine because I would need that question answered. That's
I'm pretty
only
sure.
Reason I care. You know,
just to interject, in this particular vendor's case, I think we selected both the Florida clerks to send references to. We pushed to, and one of those references is from one of the clerks.
Can you read that reference again? For
sure
me?
Can. In particular related to the call center.
Okay.
The question was, if applicable, meaning if you use the call center, on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, how satisfied are you with the vendor's call center functionality? And it was, the response was 4.
Did they give any detail?
No.
Did it say which county responded?
I have that information, but when I just printed out the references just to read to you here, it was less in reference to who made it, but totally in reference to who made it, what vendor was related to it.
Well, the reason why I was asking is because they have these two clerk of courts here, Brevard and St. Lucie. It'd be interesting to see which ones are that, so I can compare their comments here.
I'm supposed to be able to do that right here.
I'm just curious because, you know, if you get down to deciding between two competent vendors, then that would make or break it.
Absolutely. And again, they have customer levels, client levels, and something else. And the client levels assist with passwords and logins. Again, it's making me nervous that you have to log into their system for someone at your counter to take a payment.
And then here it says on the reference checks, key personnel referenced above will assign the following roles to a skilled member of the project team. It talks about, for the references we identified below, our team of technical specialists developed an efficient integrated payment solution, enabling a streamlined payment process that specifically addressed and met their unique needs. Point and Pay will do the same. And that's when they listed Brevard and St. Lucie. So again, their focus is on the payment side, not the call center side.
Right.
So I'm not convinced at this point that their call center would be as responsive as what we see in court providing.
Right.
So that's my concern with this one.
Okay.
And maybe I'm just getting too picky, but it just, to me, it's an observation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We've been through so many, I forgot. I think it's you again. Which one?
Yay, Florida Integrity.
This might be the point to interject one thing. Does anybody need to take a break?
No.
Are you 5 minutes or so?
Yeah, let's take 5 minutes.
Okay. Selection Committee 2018-01 is going to take a 5-minute recess at 3:15.